Transforming fake education into real education. School is broken, ineffective, or fake, and provides no real results. And certainly no results that are reliably reproducible. I propose introducing several new classes. These classes will create a starting point from which the new schools can emerge. These classes already have a new format, and they do not feature grades, just real and life-changing information. The most difficult of the new subjects is that of healthy relationships, as there has been an ongoing problem that colleges and universities try to hide. The primary focus right now is to undo the seemingly self-propagating myths about what it means to become a man. Because what boys currently think it is not that far off from participating in deliberate emotional exploitation and general predation. Taking advantage of the emotionally hurt, or those who don't yet have the necessary culture or knowledge to make the correct choices, is more likely to prevent a boy from ever becoming a man than anything else. Here I would like to note that a college town should not present drugs and alcohol as one of the things to do, because only a monster would do that to a young person, especially a young person under the stress of fake education and very real debt and poverty. I propose that the name of this class is love, and the starting point for the most tragic subject can be found in one of John Krakauer's books, Missoula. I have not read that book, but I trust Mr. Krakauer based on his other works. This is a very important subject, and as deeply sad and tragic it is, it must stand as the first and foremost topic that comes up when speaking about making improvements to the world's educational systems. The children need to understand that what makes a human being mature is not even age. It does not matter if someone is 50. If they didn't grow in knowledge and wisdom, then they are still a child in their mind. The second class I propose is called Poverty and Money. Its primary purpose is to state in no uncertain terms that humanity has blindly created an artificial problem that causes great harm to our entire family, to our minds, to our bodies, and to our education. Without anybody intending to do so, we have begun advancing humanity by using money and inducing a global state of poverty. This unintended consequence is a major cause behind crime. I leave it to the reader to conduct the research or locate the necessary citations, if any exist even. We have been taught that if the money was free, there would be inflation and the nations would collapse. I suspect this is correct. But the collapse of nations that we can always reconstitute is a much smaller problem than world poverty that harms everyone, from children to adults and the elderly. Children need to understand that this is an artificial problem, and they need to come up with a solution. The starting point I propose here is a World Bank that does not track debt of the people that choose to use it. To prevent whatever collapse putting food on the table and repairing the world will cause, the card may come with a dignified daily spending limit. The discussion of what that limit should be should start at $100 per day. Yes, there will be businesses that will attempt to exploit this, but if they tamper with prices, they may be temporarily banned or fined, or the money can just be returned to the customer. One important point to notice here is that having $100 per day will put money into local businesses. It will not shut them down, nor will the upper daily limit cause any runaway inflation. The class should also note that it was previously impossible to create a bank like this for three reasons. Credit cards and computer networks are a new invention. Until the invention of cards, there was no way to set a spending limit. And until computers started running the show, it was impossible to effectively detect and ban businesses tampering with prices and related fraud. The third class is called fake education. It is a class that discusses the differences between fake or ineffective education and real education. One strong point that must be touched upon here is whether or not the teachers have what they need to teach for real. And if so, why is it that they have been blindly participating in a fundamentally broken system of education? Being able to identify fake education is critical to getting a real one. And this is the class that helps the student ask the right questions and spot the fakes. One of the questions that may be asked is the importance of staying current with narrated versions of the great books written by contemporary honorable intellectuals that clearly display a love and concern for humanity. And a related question of relative importance of overpriced textbooks. The children taking these classes are soon going to become the new intellectuals that create such inspirational and beloved works. Why are they denied access to these books? And why are they forced to low-quality, disconnected fact textbooks that are mostly used in rote memorization, if even that? Children must be taught to identify when they are being taken advantage of by means of grades. Grades that belong to a system of threats. Threat of punishment, threat of being seen as stupid, threat of being held back, threat of being laughed at, threat of being alone. In 2017, 6,241 U.S. students ended their life. Please understand that school is meant to be the happiest place in our earliest memories. What we have today is a disgrace. It is a system of abuse or shame, and a system of destruction of delicate minds, minds that are each capable of greatness, that do operate on genius level, but also minds that will cease to grow if they connect their intelligence with their meaningless grade point average. Many students see their grade, especially the low GPA, as a measure of their level of intelligence. Bad grades only come from not memorizing disconnected facts. There is nothing to learn for real in today's schools, as everything is divided into meaninglessness. Let me explain how we learn. A child learns by making small steps in the general direction of whatever their next noble pursuit is. Only a sick and truly uneducated person could assume that a child learns by hopping from subject to subject 5 or 10 times a day. Classes must not be disconnected. They must be self-directed and self-paced. And the child's education must be a road marked by meaningful milestones and achievements that they are truly proud of, not just during their education, but for decades after their graduation. Examples of such achievements are learning the language of mathematics by having learned programming first and taking to create breathtaking generative art displayed in galleries all around the world, or learning 3D modeling for the purpose of creating and, more importantly, selling real and unique beautiful products that people enjoy. Until we have a better way to identify ineffective education, I propose that money-making by the student is used as a measure of results and effectiveness of their education. For those of you making the medical school argument here, understand that $250,000 or possibly $440,000 people in the US die every year from medical errors. Schools need repair. The issue of charging for college education must be touched upon here as well. College is not that different from high school. It is just as bad. Stealing the savings of the families that think their child is getting a real education and a good and safe future, and putting the student in debt at the same time for years to come, debt that can't be forgiven by bankruptcy, is nothing short of evil. And this notion of balanced education must become a symbol of what it really stands for. Fraud. Because an education that is anything other than integrated is simply a fake education. There is a related and somewhat more externalized subject here, and that is the subject of fake and ineffective politics. This should be a separate class. It is a waste of time to write about it at any length, but I think the starting point here should be the study of crimes committed by politicians. Here I would like to point to the list of American state and local politicians convicted of crimes, and note that the See Also section should be a starting point for more on this subject. Money, corruption, and insider trading, as well as all the other mistakes in all politics all around the world, is a subject that must be discussed middle school on. Which leads me to the next related subject, indoctrination. And here I have to beg a pardon and ask all the religious people to skip this section. There's an extremely important lesson that every child must fully comprehend, and that is the scale on which fantasy institutions thrive. If there is a large institution that falls within the range of size of a global church, then the church should be all the proof necessary to question all its goals and beliefs and fundamentals. If a fantasy reality is to be propagated, then everything else can be rationally and fundamentally questioned by the generation that is about to inherit it. We must stop the propagation of mistakes. World poverty, war, suffering, struggling, science denial, ignorance of climate, stockpiling nuclear weapons, and keeping 3,750 active nuclear warheads ready to destroy all major cities must stop with us. It doesn't belong in the future. This is not a problem for children to inherit. If anything, this is a reason why they should stop listening to everything we have to say and start thinking on their own. Furthermore, Richard Dawkins states that religious people that are bound to a particular religion are atheists towards all the other religions, and says that they should take that extra step. Children are susceptible to indoctrination. This must not be exploited, as children should become better than the previous generation, or there will never be an end to war and suffering and divisions and borders. Richard Dawkins correctly identifies pushing a child into a particular religion as a form of abuse. The children are the future of this world. They don't need the crutches of the previous generations. They just need a global end to poverty and knowledge and wisdom and greatness. For those of you who use religion to deal with suffering, even if it is just loneliness, I encourage you to bring in all the other books, especially their narrated versions, into your place of worship. The way out of suffering, the way towards meaning, is found in knowledge, in wisdom, and in the resulting greatness. Do not disgrace the memories of people who were murdered or tortured by the hands of your organization of choice. Do them justice and correct history's mistakes. Your places of worship should become great libraries that honor wisdom and help people towards knowledge, wisdom, and greatness in a clarity of mind. Suffering is best prevented or risen from, not lived in, under any circumstance. I worry that the elderly are being taken advantage of, that the world has abandoned them. Most don't need fantasy. They need a job that is respectful of their skills and a happy outlook on the future. If you're having difficulty seeing that, when looking at an elderly person, try not to see who they are today, but see the teenage girl. See the middle-aged woman. See them across their entire existence. They are not just elderly. They are a person full of color and experience and wisdom and knowledge. We can't just abandon them to random futures and poverty. It seems to me that all the churches are doing for the elderly is take whatever little money they have left, $1 at a time. It is time to transform your religious organizations and help the elderly to long and happy futures. The final subject I mention in this text is climate and animals. World poverty has blinded us. There isn't a single person on planet Earth that would wish famine and pandemics in the future generations. But in poverty, the energy within us that cares about all the future generations, that projects our love thousands of years into the future, has been drained. And we can no longer see that far. Not only have we added to destabilize the climate, we have done nothing to take care of it for future generations. We will not be forgiven for this. And the scientists have begun warning of untold suffering. Furthermore, there may be as few as 2,154 tigers left. No generation wants to lose a species of large animal. Looks like our generation has destroyed the tiger. We did this with our fake education, our oh so busy lives, arrogance and ignorance, and all this hard work under a state of made-up bullshit problem that could have been avoided. The problem of world poverty draining us of wisdom. Become a teacher. Make your voice heard around the world and well into the future. Make a difference and begin now. The children and the future generations need real education so that they may grow in knowledge, wisdom, and onward to greatness.